St. Frank's has supported the work in Verbier, Belgium for, I think we talked about 20 years last night. And John Marie has been here with us a number of times. Today, him and his son both are here. His son Daniel is here today with us. Daniel has a congregation in Strasbourg, France. And he took the class this morning to talk about what he's doing in a little bit of detail. We're going to take 5 minutes here, and Daniel's going to explain, I think, what he did in 45 minutes this morning. For those of you that weren't here, it's really interesting what he's doing and the need that they have. So, Daniel, you want to take a couple minutes?
Good morning. Good morning again for those who heard me already. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that we are in a great need of missionaries. We are in great need of preachers. And I hope that some young ones who are sitting here today considering possibilities for college have heard me. We do need gospel preachers, not only young ones, but some older ones also would like to do something different for their life. And I've told you this morning why we do need gospel preachers. I have first of all talked about a Bible verse in Matthew chapter 9. And I would refer to, in that verse, in verse 36 to 38, to something that Jesus was saying already at this time. If you have a Bible and want to read with me, if not, you can listen. He says this in Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were helpless and confused, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." We sang a few minutes ago a great song, "Here Am I, Lord, Send Me." Did you know that soon there will be 750 million people in the world who will be speaking French? There will be more French speakers in the world than English speakers. They will be present in 32 nations on 5 different continents. And for those 750 million people, we have way too little preachers to be able to reach them. And we do need to make something, to plan things, to be able to change that situation. For the lost souls who do not have a chance to have eternal life in heaven, but not only eternal life in heaven, but also because they are lost in this world, caught in addictions, caught in sin problems. And so what do we need to do? When God plays an open door, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to be ready to go through the open door. With every blessing always come responsibilities. We have been greatly blessed by the Lord. But with those blessings that God gave us, we now need to think, what is our responsibility for all of these people who are lost and do not have preachers like we have preachers? Along with this line, we are now trying to prepare a project to be able to put out more missionaries in the French-speaking world. I do realize that it is difficult to leave your own country to learn a new language. My mother-in-law has been trying to do it. She's 70 years old. She's helping us the best she can in France, and she's doing a great job, but it's very difficult to learn a new language when you are 70 years old. Way easier when you're younger. And so in order for the world to be rich with all these French speakers, we can't only think about American people coming and reaching out in Europe, coming and reaching out in Africa. We also need to train the locals and make sure that they have the possibility to have their own missionaries and preachers in the French-speaking countries. Along this line, Sunset has asked me to be able to create satellite preaching school in the French-speaking world. And we'll be working in the next 10 years trying to do all of that, creating preaching schools everywhere. We will establish a recording place in Sunset, Lubbock, where we will record a bunch of lessons, and we will then broadcast them through the internet. Along with that, we will also train some of the locals right now who do not yet have access to the satellite preaching school. We will bring them to Sunset, and I will be part of a training in order for them not to lose the fire to go back to the French-speaking world. And they will work with me at creating and translating a material. We have in preparation, we're also going to work on solo players. The little solo players are about the size of this item that I'm holding in my hand. These solo players have a little loudspeaker included in them. And they contain the entire curriculum of Sunset on it. It is now existing in English. My mother-in-law, who is blind, every single day spent 2 or 3 hours listening to that device. Fantastic tool for people who are blind, but not only for the blind. Also for preachers who go on the field, they put them in their pocket and are able to drive to village and they're able to play them for the people. It's charged by the sun, so it's very easy. The preacher can also leave it behind to the place where he goes so that the members can learn during the week the Bible. These players already exist in English. They're being sent all over. They've already gotten, I think, 9 million to be able to buy players and send them all over the places. It works well because you know the money is well used whenever you give a donation for that. It's buying the device, and you know that it's not going to be misspent. It's just to bring the good news. But they're now using it also to be able to do the players in Spanish. And I think they just completed the projects. We're about to go and distribute it in the Spanish-speaking world. And now we're about to start the creation of all of that in French. And it will take a great number of years, simply because we do not have all the resources that that they have been able to acquire for the English-speaking world. It will depend on how fast we can find financing for this project, how many people we can support to do the translation. But once it is done, we are planning on putting that out and sending missionaries in many places, hopefully for the 750 million people out there who will be lost by the year 2050. And let me say that 50% of these great numbers of French speakers will be Muslims. Islam is growing by leaps and bounds. Today, one out of 8 person in France is a Muslim. They're tearing down buildings, Catholic churches, huge churches with bulldozers. And you know what's being built instead? Mosques. Mosques are growing all over the place. And the reason why the mosques are growing is because the Muslims are there and they're reaching out. They're doing what the Catholics are not doing anymore. The Catholic has become a religion where they just go rarely to church. They do not reach out. And what has happened is with the years, they're dying down. They do not have preachers anymore, and the Muslims are growing, they're answering the questions, and French are converting to Islam, and sometime I'm going to fight jihad, and you know what it's producing, you're seeing it on TV. Well, there's a need, there's a black hole, we need to do something about it, and we need to provide other solution than Islam, because Islam will not lead to heaven, but we do have the gospel message that will lead to heaven, and so hopefully we're going to be working at that. And I'm very grateful for already the help that you're providing for my father. It's wonderful because it's going to allow men like him to be recorded on those classes so that we'll be able to broadcast all of that in the French-speaking world. Thank you for your time.
John, Danielle, thank you. Thank you for coming. I know we all feel the same. And that is, you inspire us, you remind us of how important it is that we reach the lost. You remind us of the desperation that we are in to reach the lost. And we need that. We need that reminder. We need to have your understanding and insight of what's going on in the battle for souls around the world. We get short-sighted and we get narrow focus. And so you light a fire in us that is always burning. But we need you. And we know that you need us. And so I want you to know thank you. And it's a joy to partner with you. I know I'm not the only one that's a little fired up today for what they're talking about. And so our job will be to continue that fire. Our job will be to take what resources we have and partner and invest in that, because the devil loves for us to waste our resources every day on many things. Not to mention, and I'm glad you made a plug for young preachers. We have young people growing up with hopes and dreams, and we need more dreams for gospel to be spread around the world. So we look forward to learning more, knowing more. I tell you, the project that you're talking about, the 10-year project and the solar device, boy, that's exciting, isn't it? Each one estimated would cost $200. Is that right? $200. That may sound like a lot. It shouldn't, because we spend $200 on a lot of things, don't we? So we want to keep praying and keep working together. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke 15, I want us to look at a chapter in Luke 15 about the lost and the desperation to reach the lost. Remember, next Sunday we have scheduled our church-wide picnic, our old-fashioned picnic. So remember to take a look at the bulletin. Make plans for that. I know different ones are to bring different things, and we all come together and we put our efforts into pulling off that event and it being a great time. Invite your friends. And remember to bring a chair, or bring your lawn chairs. It's going to be a good day next Sunday, God willing. I want to start and share just a few slides with you. These are kind of, you see these on the internet periodically, you know, mistakes that people make, and it's funny because they kind of had one job to do, right? Please slow drively. Can't read that. You ever come upon one of these? Got an arrow and then don't turn. It'll take you a minute. Can you read that? Long yellow things. That's probably a mistake. I like this right here. Back to school time. You know, you just had one job there. For you bike riders, you'll probably find this interesting. Something went wrong. Ladies, you ever had that happen? Pop open that can of vegetables. Try to have something for everyone here. Sports-minded folks. Get that? And even the geeks among us. They're the only ones laughing. That's okay. Wait for it. Okay. And then last one. This is for, you know, the engineers like Prater and Hess. Okay. And then one final one here. The value of the lost. Jesus came and he had one job on his mind. Now granted, that job ended on earth. It ended with his life and sacrifice on the cross. But Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. That was his mission. As a church, we have a mission. Now, we have a job to glorify God in everything we do, but we have a specific mission. It's not complicated. It's to reach the lost, to seek to save the lost. Paul said he wanted to that his life did not belong to him, but he made himself a slave to win as many as possible, as many as I can, he said. So in Luke 15, we have this chapter with three parables in this chapter. The third one is a parable of what's heard of as the prodigal son, or what you know it as the parable of the prodigal son. But that's in this chapter. And this chapter starts out with this. It says, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. This sets the stage for the parables, okay? You have a contrast here between Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus welcomed people struggling with sin. He welcomed them, and they were drawn to him. The Pharisees shunned people who were struggling with sin. And this chapter begins with that contrast. And for that reason, Jesus tells these parables. He's actually telling the parables to the scribes. But he tells these parables. First one, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. So all three of these parables have the point being there's something lost and you go after it. You want to retrieve it. You make some effort to get that lost thing back. And when you do, there's great celebrating, great rejoicing. Okay, he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors. They celebrate. He says, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. And then verse 7 says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. When we do right and live right, we honor God. But when God wins back one that was lost, heaven throws a party. God is pleased with those who walk with Him. But it's those that are lost that are on His mind. And God doesn't sleep, but in our terms, we would say keeps Him up at night. It's the lost. What is the value of a sinner who can be rescued? And the parables show that when we care about something and it's lost, so a shepherd and sheep, if he loses one, he drops everything to go for the one. What do we do when we lose something we really want? Or we can't find something we really want? The other day, I'm walking through the living room, and Abby, she is tearing up the movie section of our home, DVDs. She's trying to find Big Hero 6, the movie. She wanted to watch Big Hero 6. She knew we had it. We do have it. Well, we have it somewhere in the house. And she's trying to find this movie, and she can't find it. She knows we have it. And I said, Abby, watch something else. I know, but I want to watch this. Well, maybe we've lost it. No, we have it. I just saw it the other day. She's getting more and more frustrated. She can't do anything else. Well, come and eat. Do something else. Get your mind off of it. Take a break. No, she can't do anything until she finds that movie. You ever been that way? You ever lost something you desperately needed? It was important. And you didn't have to find it right then, but you just couldn't quit looking. That's how God is with the lost. Next parable. The woman, she has 10 silver coins. She loses one. She lights a lamp. She sweeps the house. She seeks diligently until she finds it. Now, when she finds it, same thing with the sheep. When she finds it, she calls her friends together, rejoice with me. She's celebrating that she's found her lost coin. And Jesus makes the same statement. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's kind of awe-inspiring. What's your reaction to think that if we have one repent this morning, what is your thought about the fact that angels in front of the Almighty are rejoicing? Not to mention the Almighty. That's how God cares about the lost. This parable, now notice, this woman is seeking diligently. I remember a time when Elizabeth was a baby, and I was driving with her to Mom and Dad's house, about an hour drive. She's in the back seat, in the car seat, and she loses her pacifier and starts crying. And I'm driving with one, it's just me, just her and I, and I'm driving with one hand trying to find this dumb pacifier back there, and she will not quit crying. I try to give her something else, she will not quit crying. It's just me, the road, and her crying. Stereo's not loud enough, she won't quit crying. I pulled over on the highway. I get out. I get knees and elbows, everything's in the back seat trying to find this pacifier. I'm sure people are passing by thinking, you know, here's some people really with trouble. Well, I had trouble. I could not find this one pacifier. We only had one. She will not quit crying until I find this. The emotion of urgency, diligently looking for something I really want or need. And Jesus says that's what it's like for the lost. That's what it should be like for the lost. And then this parable of the prodigal son, which Keith tipped me on here in a class of his recently. I learned something I hadn't known for years. Prodigal means wasteful. This son, yes, he was wasteful, but that's a mistitle in your Bible, a mistake in a heading. This man was lost. This son, the father says in his words, he was dead. The son was lost. This should be called the parable of the lost son. Maybe lost sons, right? But you have this, what we know as the prodigal son. He wants his he's the younger son, and he wants his share of the estate early. He wants his inheritance. His dad grants it. So this younger son takes his inheritance, and he leaves. He goes to a far country, and he squanders it in reckless living. He parties hard. He blows through it all. He becomes destitute. He becomes in poverty. He comes to his senses. He decides, I'll go home and I'll plead for forgiveness. It would be better to be one of my dad's hired men, just a servant at my dad's house. At least I'll have a roof over my head, 3 square meals a day. So he goes home. And you remember how the story reads? As he's coming home, still a long ways off, his dad sees him. His dad embraces him. His dad runs to him. His dad kisses him. His dad calls, immediately starts party planning, the dad does. He said, you there, get the robe. You there, get the ring. You, get the fatted calf. I mean, we're throwing a party. Everybody's invited. My son that was lost, he's now found. This is how God feels when the lost comes to be saved. This is God's struggle with trying to reach the lost. And it all starts, remember, you have Jesus and the Pharisees. Jesus welcomed those who were struggling with sin. And so I want to leave us with a reminder of our mission. Our mission is to reach the lost. We have lost here. We have lost around the world. It's sobering to have our awareness widened. Thank you, Daniel. For how many are lost in the French-speaking world. How many, just masses with little hope because they're not able to hear the gospel. But let me end with this thought. Where do we want those who are struggling with sin? Those in our community who are struggling with sin, where do we want them? Really, those anywhere around the world, where do we want them to be? Where do we want those struggling with sin if it's not to be here? If it's not to be in the congregation of the saints? True? With Christians. Where do we want those who are struggling with alcoholism? Where do we want those who are struggling with anger? Those who are struggling with divorce? Those who may be struggling with a drug addiction, a gambling addiction, pornography addiction, struggling with adultery, struggling with pregnancy out of wedlock, struggling with same-sex attraction, or greed, or envy, or pride, or jealousy. Where do we want them? Someone struggling with rage or gossip. Where do we want these people? Or someone struggling with self-righteousness. Now, if you didn't notice, I tried to take us through a list of sins that we would be tempted with and struggle with temptation. And if none of those hit home with you, the last one should. Self-righteousness. If you can't relate to any of those sins, either put one in there that you can relate to, or self-righteousness would be your struggle. Sinners need to be drawn to Christ. Right? Those struggling with sin need to be with God's people. Now, don't misunderstand me, I don't mean to live in sin. We cannot live in sin. God loves us too much to leave us that way. We're not going to have people that live in sin and we don't care enough to help them with it. But I'm talking about struggling with sin. So, just a reminder, our mission is to seek and save the lost. That needs to become more of a fire in us, doesn't it? That needs to be the emotion we feel like we do when we lose something important to us and we ransack the house or the car or whatever it is trying to find it. That's God's passion for the lost. And that needs to be our passion. And when we encounter them, whatever shape they're in, we need to love them. Show them how to walk properly with God. We need to be praying about what's going on in France, Belgium, French-speaking world. We need to pray for these men, their wives, don't we? And we need to pray for our hearts that God would be working here so that however we can help more than we've been helping, that we're ready to do it. Incidentally, the silver box is sitting out. If you don't know, the silver box is a tradition here. It's a shoe box, but it's silver, and that'll help you find it. That's why we call it the silver box. It has an opening in the top. Anytime our missionaries come, we have that on the table. You want to help? You have $5? Put it in the silver box. You have $100, $200? It's available for us to bless those who are here with us. Send them on with a financial blessing. So it's available. Be mindful of that. We're gonna sing a song of encouragement. And if you're here and there's something on your heart that you'd like us to pray for you about, or there may be one here this morning who you are lost without Christ, without the blood of Jesus, without giving your life to Christ and having your sins washed away, you know you're lost. You just haven't been ready yet. The devil will tell you to wait. And God is that voice that's saying, why not just do it right now? And so if there's one that needs help this morning to be saved, we'd love to do that. We'd ask that you come while we stand and sing together.
Be the Lord, just come in, drinking water on love.